Amen. Did you bring a Bible today?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6. And then up on the screen I have Proverbs 4, so you might want to go ahead and turn there. All right. Ephesians 6, Proverbs 4. You pray for me today. My mind is not very sharp this morning, so I may give you the dumbed-down version of God's Word this morning. Might be beneath you this morning. Proverbs 4, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 is what we're dealing with. We started on this part of it last Sunday morning. And the Lord be willing, we're going to take it and go a little bit deeper with it this morning. As I wait for you to turn there, Ephesians 6. How many of you believe there are devils that are in operation? Well, I didn't even have to finish the question. How many of you believe there are devils? Yep. How many of you know some of them? Yep. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you a loaded question, all right? You think there are devils that are very comfortable inhabiting churches? Okay. What about this one? Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? Okay. As I go through the teaching this morning, I want to try to make you understand this is something very simple that we're dealing with in everything that we're dealing with in this message. Is we're dealing with devils, we're dealing with evil spirits, fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, gods with a little g, and they have places where they like to inhabit, just like the animal kingdom. You have places where certain animals like to live. A lot of times, my mom and dad got into this years ago. Dad set up a bird feeder outside their back patio. And they did that so they'd go out, look out the window, or maybe sit out on the patio and watch the different kind of birds that would come in. And what they did was they created a habitation or a place where these birds that would draw them there. Sterling, a few years ago, and he hadn't done it in a while, but Sterling used to set up hummingbird feeders. Remember that? And he even got to where he could recognize a couple of them because they was fighting all the time. One was constantly chasing off another one. And they were, one was chasing off another over that territory. One hummingbird was saying, "This is my feeder. This is my area. If any girl hummingbirds come here, they're more than welcome. But if there's any other men hummingbirds, I'm going to peck them and I'm going to run them off." Why? Think about it. Number one, because he had made a place where they liked to inhabit. He made a situation where they liked to be. They were comfortable there. They were fed there. They were provided for there. And the two dude hummingbirds knew that the female hummingbirds were there. And they were going to fight each other to see who could win that territory. Now, what I've just described for you is areas of life that we build that draw devils. You can create in your life, in the things that you do, the habits that you have. In fact, the word inhabit and habitation and habit, they're all, see the similarity there? Habit, habitation, inhabit, they all have to do with the same thing. And a lot of it has to do with what you and I do. or how you and I think. And it is very possible for people in this church to build a habitation for devils. And then you wonder why everything's going bad in your life, and you wonder what's going wrong. The truth of it is, you have built the habitation. You built a place for them. In fact, let's hold on to Ephesians. I want you to look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 18. I want to show you this out of your Bible. Revelation chapter 18 verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And it's become the habit. Look at that. Habitation. The word habitation has the word habit in it. Habitat. Inhabit. It's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. See, in order to draw the hummingbirds to your house, all you need to do is set out a hummingbird feeder. That's all you have to do. You don't have to put signs like on the Roadrunner. You don't have to put a sign out that says, hummingbird feeder 1 mile this way. Because when you put it out there, they'll show up. When you put the bird feeder out there with all the different seeds in it, whatever it is that eats those seeds, you don't have to advertise all over town that where your bird feeder is. They'll show up. And if 20 birds don't know where the feeder is, they see one bird flying to the same place every day, and pretty soon some of them get smart and they say, well, I'm going to follow him. And sure enough, here come the rest of them. And before too long, you've got a yard that is full of seeds and bird droppings. Huh? And dirty cars. And just remember, you wanted it this way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's where we're at today. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, you're going to pray for me today. You're either going to pray for me or you're going to get let out in 5 minutes. Proverbs 4. So if you want to be let out in 5 minutes, don't pray for me. And pray that God doesn't give me anything beyond this. And if that's the case, I'll let you out in 5 minutes. Proverbs chapter 4. Turn there. Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil man or of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I want you to look at what he compared it to. The path of the just is as a shining light, and the path of the wicked is full of darkness. And when they stumble, they have no idea what they stumbled over. They just know that they stumbled. But they have no idea. Why? Because there's no light. Now there's people in this church house, older, some older people, that if they could, I want you to get this scenario. There's people in this church that stand next to a roadway that they have been down in times past. They've been down that road and they know what danger is down there. And God, by His grace, rescued them from what was down there. And He brought them back and He said, now you stand here to the entrance of this roadway. Remember that path that you used to go down? Yeah. I want you to stand right here, and everybody that passes by that you see that is trying to go down this road, I want you to stop them and warn them of what's down there. I see myself as there are things that God let me get into. Long time ago, I was going to go after the seeker-friendly, purpose-driven Rick Warren. I was going to dumb down all the sermons. I was going to preach positive on everything. And I had hired a heavy metal rock band to play for our team. Was going to have a special teen service, and I'd hired a rock band to play for them. And I had some people call and tune me out. And I had one pastor that called me and said, Mike, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I didn't call to tell you what to do. It's your church. And he said, I understand what you're trying to do, but he said, I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. Pray that you make the right decision. And that one phone call changed my mind. I got off the phone, I hung the phone up, and I got down on my face before God in my office. And I said, God, it is very apparent to me that you don't want me to do this. And so, God, I'm not going to do it. And I called the guy and I canceled it that day. And of course, he was a little upset with me. But we didn't have that. And over time, God began to show me just how bad I was and how deep I was and the dangers that were there. And God rescued me out of that. I used to read all these other translations. Used to think there was all these, you can't trust any Bible. You just have to trust me. By the way, they're all down on the same road. And so God brought me out of that, and I'm standing here, and anybody who wants to go down that road, I'm going to stop them. I'm going to say, before you go down there, let me tell you what's down there. Let me tell you how God rescued me from that. Let me tell you how God pulled me out from what's, you can't see it from here. But I'm telling you what's down there. Now, if you go down there, that's your business. That's your call. But I'm going to tell you what lies beyond what you can see from here. I'm going to tell you what lies beyond all the hype and what all your friends have told you. I'm going to tell you that it's dangerous down there, that it's a trap. And if God loves you the way He loves me, God will rescue from it. But if not, you're stuck and you're doomed. And I'm standing right at that roadway and I'm telling everybody, don't go down there. If you look at verse 14 there, enter not the path of the wicked and go not the way of the evil men. Why? Why? Why would your mom and your daddy, why would your mom and daddy tell you, I see you hanging around that kid there who lives down the street. I don't want you going down to their house. Why would your mom and daddy tell you that? You know why your mom and daddy tells you that? Because your mom and daddy had a friend just like that, and they used to be in that kid's house, and they know what's in that house. And while you sit there and roll your eyes at your mom and dad, how stupid they are, the truth is, you actually know what's down, or you think you know what's down there, and you're kind of hoping that it is down there because you want to get into it. Who are we kidding? Let's pray. Father, I'm asking for your help to preach this message. I don't know how to do it. And I pray, dear God, that you would help me. And God, that you would clear my mind and help me to say things that are right. And help me say things that would be a blessing to these people. Lord, help us, dear God, to warn one another, to pray for one another, to shine a light, Lord, in our own lives and in other people's lives. Father, to give warning the way the book of Proverbs gives warning. Help us, dear God, to not go down the path of the wicked. We can't see what's on the end. We can't see where it leads, but others have been down there and they're telling us that we do not want to go down there. Father, thank you for allowing us to heed that warning. But Father, for those, Lord, that are contemplating walking the path of the wicked, God, I'm not fooled. There may be somebody sitting in this room right now that has been invited to come down the path. And the truth of it is, they know what's down there, and that's why they want to go. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would send warning to them and warn them that what it is they're hoping to get into is not going to turn out well for them. Lord, help us, dear God, to send warning and help us to shine light. The path, Father, that your people are on is full of light, and it causes us to see the great blessings that you have. But Lord, the path of the wicked is very dark. And when they get down to the end of it, they're going to stumble and they'll not even see it coming. So Father, just open up our eyes today and help us to see. And Lord, open up my mind today and help me to preach right. Help me to preach it, Lord, as it is according to your word. Help it, Lord, to make sense to these people. Let it be a blessing to them, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Notice that he said, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. I'm going to put a verse of scripture up on the screen. And Roy, I was looking for you a while ago. Roy stands at the entrance to a road that leads to a case of Jack Daniel's whiskey for free. And it's just, and you can see it, but you can't see what's beyond it. Roy is standing at the entrance to that road saying, see that case of Jack down there? Let me tell you, I went down there one day and I took it. But let me tell you what's on the other side of that case before you decide to go down there. Am I right? You listen to the man, he'll tell you what's down there. There's others that have been involved in other areas of life that will tell you. See what's down there? You see that? Let me tell you what's on the other side of that. Let me tell you, it ain't worth it. It's a bunch of misery. It's the worst thing I ever did was go down this road. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to try to block your way. Now if you get around me, so be it. But at least you'll know that you were warned before you went down there. Now I'm going to put a verse on the screen. And I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. And they're going to go together. And I'm going to explain how. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoso curseth his father... Hey, I want every child, boy, girl, and teenager listening. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Remember, where darkness is, there are rulers who rule over that darkness. Wherever there's darkness, there are devils that are in that darkness that when you get there, they're going to destroy you. They're going to eat you alive. If you've ever been scared by anything in life, you ain't seen nothing. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, His lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Did you know the Bible says that every human being in this world has a light like a candle on the inside of them? Did you know that? Later on, I'm going to show you from the Bible what it is. It's your spirit. God put a spirit in you. And the Spirit of God in heaven and the Spirit of God in the tabernacle was depicted how? Does anybody know? Seven what? Candles. What do those candles do? They give light. See, we're in the 21st century. Nobody shows up to this church at 7 in the morning to light all the candles that are up in the chandeliers like they used to. Or light all the coal oil lamps that are in the church house. We don't have that anymore. I come in here, Sterling comes in here, and we go, flick! Look at there! There's all the light bulbs in there. But we still, to this day, a light bulb has what's called candle power, and they actually measure the amount of light that comes out of a light bulb by calling it candle power. So we're still using the terminology. Every human being in this planet has a light on the inside of them. John chapter 1 tells us that Christ was the light of all men that cometh into the world. That they have a spirit in them, and that spirit is that light. Now, look up there on the screen. There's a rock band. Who in here has ever heard of this band before? Now I'm going to ask you another question. Who in here ever listened to this band? Oh, there's some of you. Sterling's going, I don't even know how to say that word. Nirvana. Nirvana. Does anybody know where they got... By the way, this guy here, Kurt Cobain, was the lead rocker from this particular group. I'm going to tell you about him in a minute. The word nirvana, it comes from Hindu mysticism. The Hindus believe in reincarnation. To this day, in India, it's actually part of the state law and state religion. If you are one of the stinky, nasty, dirty, poor people that live in the slums, you living in India have zero chance of ever coming out of there. You know why? Because their religion says that if you were born into that, it's because Brahma, the god, or one of the other billion gods that they serve, decided that you needed to live there to purge yourself from sins from your past life. And if you live that life halfway decent, well, then when you're born in the next life, you might be born of a higher class. Because, and I'll tell you this. If it's in India, the class, get ready now. You're going to see a dark side to humanity here in a minute. In India, the class that you are in is determined by how light or how dark your skin is. In Mexico, I found this out in Mexico, there are very dark-skinned Mexicans. They are the remnants of the Aztecs that lived in Mexico before Cortez came in. And I had a tour guide tell me once, he said, yeah, there's the Indian Mexicans, and then he said there's the European Mexicans. And what they were Spaniards that came over and settled in Mexico, and that's what everybody speaks Spanish. And he said, the Indians are dark-skinned, and they don't go to the good schools, and they don't get the good jobs in Mexico. You will see the dark-skinned Mexicans out begging for money, and their children out begging for money with them. And if you just want a good day of sobbing, you go to Mexico when one of these little dark-skinned little boys that smell come up to you with a little box of gum and ask you to buy gum from them so they can have food to eat. You'll bawl, you'll cry. I think I gave that kid $1 for that little box of Chiclets. But even in Mexico, the lighter skinned Mexicans, they get all the good jobs and they live in the nice houses and they get the better education. Listen, there is an evil side to man. Very wicked. And I could even bring that into this nation. It still does exist. And it ain't right. God's people know it ain't right.
Amen.
God's people know that God made us all out of the exact same dirt. The only people who see it this way are people who walk in darkness, not light. Can I get an amen at God's people? But see, let me explain nirvana. Let me explain what it is. The belief that as you're reincarnated and you achieve a higher status through every life that you live, the wider you get, at some point, you will stop being reincarnated in this earth because you have achieved nirvana. The word nirvana literally means blown out, like blowing out a lamp or a candle. Their religious emphasis, Scotty, is to come to a state where their candle, which is their spirit, their candle on the inside of them is blown out. And look at what he said. Look at this verse. Whoso curseth his father, his mother, his lamp shall be put out. Now, I'm going to just ask you a question. Does that look like anything that is a blessing to you when your lamp's blown out? Let me tell you what I learned about Kurt Cobain, the guy that started this group, that named this group. While living with friends and family as a teenager, Kurt Cobain became a devout follower of Christianity. When he was a teenager, he was living his parents had died or something like his parents had divorced or something like that, and they couldn't handle him, so they put him in with friends. And he lived in his family that went to church all the time, and he fell in with them and went to church 3 times a week, Dave Bradley. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Later, he rejected Christianity, replacing it with Buddhism, and it was from Buddhism that he got the name Nirvana. You know what God did with him? Blew his candle out. Does anybody know what happened to Kurt Cobain? What happened? Killed himself. He got so famous and got so rich and had so many drugs and had so many women after him. And he was living it all. And he ended up taking his own life because God blew his candle out. And he realized there wasn't anything worth living for anymore. Let me tell you something. Watch this now. There are rulers of darkness. Are there not? When you live the kind of lifestyle that Kurt Cobain lived after he took his Bible and set it aside. That's what he did. He took his Bible, Ed, and he set it over here and he said, I don't believe that stuff anymore. With the light that was in his life was coming from his Bible. And while he had his Bible open, he was not thinking about ending his life. But when he took his Bible, Dave, and set it over here, close it up, I'm not going to read that book anymore. I'm going to get into Buddhism. I'm going to be a Hindu. God went. And now there's nothing but darkness in Kurt Cobain's life. It's reflected in his music. It's reflected in his lifestyle. It's reflected in his philosophies and the reason why. I mean, he didn't name his band New Jerusalem. He didn't name it Gates of Pearl. See, that'd be a good name to name a Christian gospel quartet. Amen. This is the Gates of Pearl Quartet. He didn't name it after anything Christian out of his Bible. He rejected his Bible and he named it after the eventuality of a religion that where everybody that follows this religion ends up going to hell, which is a place of outer darkness. And God blew his lamp out. Now he has no light. And when you have no light, you have just created a habitation for every kind of evil devil to come in and jump in your life and in your mind. When there's no light on, that's when these things show up. This Bible is dead on right. Job 18:6, the light shall be a dark in his tabernacle and his candle shall be put out with him. That's every verse that I have up here on the screen is Kurt Cobain and his life. And everybody else who has rejected God's word. Because what is God's word? Light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Jesus is the light of the word, of the world, and he's the word of God. So the word of God is light to us. And when you reject the word of God, watch this. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle and his candle shall be put out with him. Job 21:17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them. God distributeth sorrows in his anger. Proverbs 20 verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In fact, open your Bible up. Open your Bible up to Proverbs 20 verse 27. And I want everybody in here to underline that verse in your Bible. Because when one of these days when you're flipping through your Bible, I want that verse to jump out at you. I want it to grab you one day. Proverbs 20 verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God benefited you by giving you a spirit. The spirit that is in you is full of light. And here's how God works. Who in here has ever done something wrong and felt guilty about it? Some of you perk near every day. Amen. You know why you felt guilty about it? Because God gave you a spirit that was light. And that light, you got to thinking about what you did. And the light coming from God showed you that what you did was wrong. And you felt guilty about it. And the light was on and you started just kind of looking around in your life and you were thinking about what happened throughout the day and you went, oh, you know what? I was talking to somebody today and I just kind of let out a little dirty comment to them. Man, I wish I hadn't said that. You know what causes that? Light. The light inside of you makes you remember that as being that something you probably shouldn't have done. I've done it. Or maybe you went out, you went to the Red Box and got a movie, you popped it in, you watched the whole thing, and there was parts in there probably shouldn't be seen, and later on you went, man, I know Brother Mike's going to preach on this tomorrow. I know he is. And I know he doesn't know. I'm not telling him that this such and such scene was in here, but I guarantee you it's going to pop up. Or I'm going to read the Bible tonight before I go to bed, and poof, exactly that whole scene was right there in your Bible. See, that's the light inside of you, and it's searching out your life. The spirit of man is the candle of God. And with Kurt Cobain, what he did was he went, blew his lamp out, and now Kurt Cobain does drugs, sleeps with a bunch of women, plays this style of music, and basically Kurt Cobain became the spokesman for an entire generation of revolutionaries back in the early 90s. What was he, 94? That's when he killed himself. He became the spokesman for an entire generation of young people at that time. He has led, who knows how many people killed themselves because Kurt Cobain killed himself. Hundreds. Because I've got a little memory back in my mind that remembers some news story about somebody killing themselves because Kurt Cobain was no longer living, and they couldn't live without Kurt. God blew Kurt's candle out. God blew their candle out. And nothing he does in his mind is wrong. You know why? Because God blew his candle out. He's got nirvana, all right. Right now, Kurt Cobain has achieved nirvana. You know what it is? Place of outer darkness. Where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That devil's slick. He's very slick. Proverbs 24:20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. That's to an individual. Now I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read maybe a verse or maybe two. I'm going to show, in fact, turn to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to show you that it can happen to an entire church. Having fun there, buddy? Can I give you, just, I'm going to unhook the train for a minute, give you Mike Hoggart's official position on babies being in the church service? I'm all for it. Okay? And I'm going to be honest with you. This is just me. The last thing that I want is for about half the moms in the church to be running down to the nursery during the whole church service. The best place for you to be is right here. Now, if that baby, babies are going to be babies. See? Doesn't matter if it's my kid, your kid. Doesn't matter. Babies will be babies. And if they get to a place where you can't get them quiet, take them downstairs, feed them, change that nasty mess, whatever. There's a sign, and there's still a sign on the nursery that says, "For we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Is that still down there? I like that. But when they get calm, get back up here. Okay? Again, I'm not being mean about it. You don't hear me say stuff like this. Okay? That's my official position. Since you didn't ask, I thought I'd tell you anyway. All right? Revelation chapter 2. In fact, let's preface this. Let's build up to this. You're in Revelation chapter 2. Amen? In Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to show you what these candlesticks are. Boy, I like this. Let's see here. In verse 12 of Revelation chapter 1, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He's going to tell you what those candlesticks are. Verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, I'm going to shout a little bit. I'm going to get happy a little bit. You know what this means right here? You know what Jesus said before he left? He said, for where two or more gathered together in my name, there am I where? Look at that verse again. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He was there in the midst of them, amen. Listen, when God, look at this. When y'all are in this place, where are you holding your Bible? Look at your lap. That's right about the middle of you. I don't see anybody holding it on their foot like this going. This is Jesus, and He's always in the midst of us. Because we usually hold it right about here to read it. I don't see anybody going. Put it down. Now watch this. Okay, you understand the candlesticks, right? They're the churches. Who's in charge of the churches? So, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Lest our church get cocky. Lest our church get arrogant. Lest our church get full of pride. Lest our church think that we're better than all of the other churches and we can't be brought down. Remember, Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Number one, everybody in this church has the ability to fall. Say amen.
Amen.
Number two, this whole church all at one time has the ability to fall. Because I talk to you people online all the time, and you tell me, we were part of a church, and we thought everything was fine until pastor started bringing in all these other Bibles, pastor started bringing in these Rick Warren stuff, and the whole church fell for it, and we had to leave. Whole churches can do it. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. So number one, everybody can fall. Number two, when you do, repent. Repent. Who in here believes you ought to repent?
Amen.
You know what God will do when you repent? Stand you back up. And say, this is my child right here. And do the first works. You remember when you first got saved? Little heathen. Do you remember when you first got saved?
Amen.
That was your first works. You went and you bawled your eyes out. You said, I can't live this way anymore. God says, if you're going to repent, remember what it was like when you first got saved. And say, I still can't do this anymore. That's repent, amen. Do the first works or else. I will come unto thee, how fast? And will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I'll tell you something God dealt with me a long time ago, Sister Pam. It was about me getting all full of pride about how many we had coming to church here at one time. And I'm going to tell you that other than us having a special service, the number that I boasted of myself about, one day when I first became pastor, we had an Easter service. And I was walking through there on my way to the restroom, and I noticed we had like 120 some odd people for church that one Sunday morning. And as I was walking back, I looked at it and I thought, boy, I must be doing a good job. And God grabbed me by the nape of my neck and slung me down at that altar and said, you better repent. And what God told me that day, John, was, Mike, who do you think you are? Because if you won't let me work with you, I'll take you out and I'll bring somebody in here that I can work with. Now, how's it going to be? That scared me. And you know what? To my knowledge, we have not had 120 some odd in this church since that day, and that was 20 years ago. God said, Mike, I will be the one who brings them in or takes them out. I will do that, not you. But you know what we've got instead? 1,500 families last Sunday morning, plus the streaming crowd in Kenya, plus whoever watched it after that. So I just decided that it's best for me to get going with God's plan and let Him do it. Because He's already told me, He's already warned me, Mike, I will take you out and put somebody in your place. God, I believe you. God doesn't have to use this church. There's thousands others just like us that God could use. I don't want Jesus to say, I'm taking y'all out because I gave you a chance to repent. I gave you space. You're fallen, and I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to put another church in your place that I can use. And who knows to say that we as a church have not filled the place that God took someone else out and put us in their place? Who's to say that that's not how this happened? So I think that we take what God is doing here seriously. And individually, if you make a mistake, you get it right. Or else God will take you out and put somebody else in that He can work with. As a church, if we make a mistake, let's make it right and repent. Or else God will take us out and put somebody else in to take our place. And that would hurt my feelings. That'd kill me. I don't want that. So I want you to think about your light. I want you to think about the candle of God inside of you, showing you what's right and showing you what's wrong. I want you to think about the Word of God. Because, and I'll probably pick up on this tonight, there's actually people in this world. I'm going to surprise you. When I say this, your eyes are going to go, "What?" Get ready. You ready? There are people in this country who actually think that it's okay to abort a baby. I didn't get the, "What?" You know, the sad thing is, we already know that. We already know that probably a majority of the people who live in the cities in this country think it's okay to go inside a woman's womb and tear that baby to pieces, suck it out with a suction hose and throw it in the trash, or sell its body parts on the open market. You know what that's called? Putting darkness for light. And light for darkness. Because a week after and had their deal in Washington, D.C. and all over the place, the pro-lifers went out by the millions and they had pro-life marches all over the country. Do you know how CNN reported it? Anti-abortionist! Or no, anti-choice! That's how they put it. They didn't say pro-life. They called them anti-choice evil things. When really the evil are the people who are stomping up and down the streets saying, "We should have the right to have our babies ripped to pieces inside of our womb." It makes me so mad. I'm not a violent person. I could get in a shooting mood at abortion. Abortion tears me up. It kills me. That's putting light for darkness and darkness for light. Woe to that person. You know what that is to you today? Quit justifying what you said as being right. Quit justifying how you treated that person as being right. If how you treated that person was wrong according to the Word of God, it was wrong and you better repent of it. Or you'll have God going, "No light." Stand to our feet.